Second Peter chapter 2, we're still considering the speaker of parables. I read to you this morning these verses. Listen to them again. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And that from Psalm 78 is spoken of as a prophecy by Christ. And this is what it says in the New Testament. It was fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. So our Savior is the parable speaker. I want to continue the thoughts about parables. And here is a thought, and I'm going to tell you and expand it. But first, let's just start with this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 21. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog's turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. That's all I'll read for now, and then I want to read more later, but let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the way that you have chosen to speak to us. We heard somewhat this morning about the way that you would have your Son to speak to us. He spoke in parables, and without a parable speak ye not unto them. And so let us understand a little more from the Old as well as the New Testament about these things that are called parables. We thank you for the blessings of the day, our Father. We're thankful for all who have come out, and we pray that the truth shall have gone to their hearts, and we pray tonight that we shall learn more. We've heard about parables in the mouths of wise men, and we read in thy word about a parable in the mouth of a fool. So let the words spoken by your servants, our God, be parables inspired by God and empowered by God to be understood by your children. Our Father, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen. If you read learned articles about parables, this is what you will find. You'll find words like these: parables, proverbs, similitudes, allegories, fables, dark sayings. All of those fall into this category that are spoken of as parables in the Old Testament. In fact, the same word that's translated parable in one Old Testament place is translated proverb in another. So the basic thought is this. The word in itself, mashal, it means to have superior thought and the ability to use that thought, to put it into action. So someone who speaks a parable is one who has superior intelligence and is able to couch his thoughts with words that are like a parable. At times, they're like a poem. And what is so strange is that a parable, the word itself, parable, it's the word parabole, which means to place or set one thing beside another thing. And if you ask me, what does this fruit taste like? What does this meat taste like? I would mention another meat or another fruit that tasted like it, and that would be placing one thing beside another. So, when it says that our Savior is a speaker of parables, It's not simply placing one thing beside another, but at times it's even more than that. It expands it. They turn into stories, and I want us to consider some of those from the Old Testament. As I've read you about one in the New Testament, it speaks about the true proverb. Now, if I wanted to, I could tell you the folly of a Christian who committed one sin and he suffered grievously for that sin, and then that same Christian went out and committed that same sin again. I could tell you that plainly and mention the sin he committed and then the time that he committed that sin again. This is the way it's looked at in the Old Testament. The dog has returned to its vomit, and the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mud again. You see, here the dog is like this fool that has committed a sin, and it so destroyed him that he throws up, and then the fool goes and returns to his own vomit. Now, it's not a pleasant thought, but it is what the Bible calls a proverb. And it's so effective that it was used in Proverbs in the Old Testament, and it's used in 2 Peter in the New Testament. Proverbs are so interesting that as a young boy, I can remember before my teens, not being saved, but there was a Bible in my home, and I would go when I visited other homes. I remember visiting my sister in Dunn, North Carolina, and there was a Bible she kept, and I remembered things that I didn't even know what they were called, but they were called Proverbs. But I would look and look and look in the Bible until finally Job, Psalms, Proverbs, I would come upon them and I would read them in my unsaved days. They were so fascinating. And I would read these things, and at other times I would turn to the New Testament and read and try to find miracles. So there are certain things that God wants us to know, and he tells us those things in a certain way, and it makes them more vivid, more striking. You remember them longer, and they have more effect upon you than if you just use plain words. And so our Savior was the speaker of parables. I want to tell you more about our Savior, and in the will of God, I'll tell you about it next week. But all of these other things are God's ways of expressing truth. He wants his creatures to know things, and he says, this is the way that I'm going to convey these truths to you. And so remember those words, parable, proverb, similitude, riddle, fable, dark saying, instead of plainly just saying 1, 2, 3, 4. God speaks to us in various ways. Concerning a dark saying, in Numbers 12, when Moses has been criticized by Miriam and Aaron, God says to him, Moses is different from all the other prophets. I speak to them in dark sayings. He said, but I speak to Moses mouth to mouth. And so here is something remarkable, that when God spoke to Moses, it was in the plainest language that could not be misunderstood. But then, when he's speaking to us, he makes it more colorful, and at times it is a dark saying, and at other times it's a fable, at other times it is a riddle, at other times it is a proverb, and God speaks to us in these various ways. Now, I've told you, just briefly, given you that illustration of one proverb about the dog, and now I want to tell you something that is so interesting that it reveals the character of a man that you would never think of as being capable of speaking the way that this man did, and the man is Samson. in the Old Testament. The strongest man on the scene that God brings to our attention in the Old Testament is Samson. And you never think of a strong man as being one that is poetical, the one that would do something, then make up a little poem about it. But that was the mind of Samson. He had a mind for the flesh, and he had a mind for that which was puzzling, and he had also a lust for women that God had no intention to be in his life. But what happened was this. He is miraculously given to Manoah, and then when he grows up, it says God was with him and the Spirit of God was upon him. And he goes down and he sees this woman of the Philistines. And he goes to his parents and he says, I've seen a woman that pleases me. You go and get her. And his parents say, can you not find any woman of the children of Israel? You have to go and find one among these uncircumcised Philistines. And Samson waved his hand and said, it means nothing to me. Get her for me. She pleases me well. And so his parents, and this is what they never should have done unless God was going to turn this thing around, as he tells us, they never should have gone and gotten that woman for him. But they did. And so while the arrangements are being made, there are 30 companions that are with Samson, and Samson says, let's have a contest. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I will give you a riddle, and if you can answer that riddle during the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 changes of raiment and garments, and if you can answer it, I will give them to you, and if you can't answer it, then you give them to me. And they said, the bet is on. And so this man, with all his strength, loves to speak riddles. And so this is his riddle. He says, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He said, now solve that riddle for me. And as Shakespeare says, they cudgeled their brains and thought for 3 days, and they were never able to figure it out. And so they went to his wife and they said to her, if you do not get him to tell you the answer to that riddle, and then you tell it to us, we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire. And so this poor woman goes and she pleads with Samson day after day after day until the seventh day, and finally Samson says, all right, I will tell you. And he tells her the answer to his riddle. Now, what it all started from, if you remember the story, is that Samson in his strength was going along, and this young lion came out and attacked him. And it said that Samson rent him as if he had been a kid. And somehow, that nobody is able to understand, ever so quickly, the carcass of that lion dries up, and bees come and deposit honey in the carcass of that lion. And so Samson said, that's my riddle. Now listen to it again. Out of the eater came forth food, meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Who could ever figure that out? But they thought they could, but they never were able to figure it out. And so they threatened Samson's wife, and he told her, he said, what is stronger than a lion, and what is sweeter than honey? And then she runs and tells his enemies, and so when the day comes, and Samson says, now, give me the answer to my riddle. And they say, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And Samson's reply was this, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. It's another little couplet, another little poem that he's put together, and that was his mind. So think, in the Bible, you have truths expressed in this way that are fascinating. And another thing, to show you the poetry of Samson, it was this. When Samson, to secure those 30 garments and changes of linen, to get them, he didn't have them, and so he went out and killed 30 Philistines. And he took all of their clothes and he came and gave it back to them. That's the way he did it. But when he killed those 30 Philistines, then they came to bind him and turn him over to his enemies, the Philistines. The Philistines came and were going to make war with Israel. But Philistines said, we will not fight against you if you will turn Samson over to us. And so they said, all right, we will go get him. And so it says 3,000 men of Judah came and spoke to Samson and said, do you not know that we are servants to the Philistines? This is what is so remarkable, that Samson was not a servant to the Philistines, but to think that 3,000 men of Judah would make that confession, that they are our masters, we are subject to them. They weren't masters of Samson, and so they said, now, we have to turn you over to those Philistines. And Samson said, well, you promised me this, that you won't kill me. They said, no, we will not kill you. We'll just bind you and turn you over to them. And so they bound him with two strong cords and took him to the Philistines. And when he got there, the Spirit of God came upon him and it said those cords were just as if they were melted, as if fire had burnt them through, flax burnt through with fire, and it says that Samson popped them off his hands. And here is this army of the Philistines coming to destroy Samson, and he looked around and he found a fresh jawbone of an ass, and he took that jawbone of an ass and went and fought against those Philistines and killed 1,000 of them. And when he got through, he threw that jawbone away, and this is what he said. He said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I had killed 1,000 men. You see, he kills 1,000 men, and then he makes up a little couplet about it. And so this is Samson, and this is one of the ways that God expresses his truth in the Bible. You have poems that we make today, and they rhyme. But in the Old Testament, you have poems like that. Think, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps. These are human bodies. With the jawbone of an ass, I have killed 1,000 men. And so here is Samson as an example of one that speaks in riddles and gives little proverbs like the ones that he gave. Now, let me give you what is known as a fable. That's in the Bible, and I'll tell you about it for the sake of time. The one that we know as Gideon in the Bible is also called Jerubbaal, and he had 70 sons. He had many wives, and he had 70 sons with his legitimate wives. But he had a concubine, and he had one son by her named Abimelech. And when Abimelech, who was the son of this concubine and not a full-fledged son of Gideon, Jerubbaal, he went to his people in Shechem and he said, is it better for you to have 70 sons of Gideon to reign over you or one that is your own flesh and blood? They said, why, you, our own flesh and blood. He said, well, give me money. And so they gave him money. And Abimelech goes out and hires wicked men, and these wicked men go and kill the 70 sons of Gideon. But the youngest one, named Jonathan, he is one who escapes and flees for his life, and then the folly of the children of Israel in accepting Abimelech is as their ruler is exposed when Jonathan goes at a great distance from them, but close enough so they can hear him, and then he tells them a fable. And I think I will read that to you. So turn to Judges chapter 9. You've heard of Aesop's fables. Well, here is a fable that is a rival of Aesop's fables, but it still falls into that category of proverbs and parables and riddles. And it says this in Judges chapter 9, starting at verse 7. It says, "And when they told it to Jotham," not Jonathan, but Jotham, "he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice, and cried, and said unto them, Hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees," now this is the fable, like a parable, "the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to wave to and fro over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to wave to and fro over the trees? And the tree said unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my new wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to wave to and fro over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble or the thorn, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade, and if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have dealt truly and uprightly in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you, and adventured his life for you, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house today, and have slain his sons, 70 upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and uprightly with Jerubbaal, and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech, and devour the men of Shechem, and the house of Milo, and let fire come down out of the men of Shechem, and from the house of Milo, and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away, and fled, and went to Beer, and dwelt there, for fear of Abimelech, his brother." Now, you see how the folly of those that took Jotham, brothers, his half-brother, and made Abimelech king over them. He told them plainly after he spoke the fable. But see how picturesque and how impressive it was when he goes and gets all of these contestants to be king, and each one of them is an excellent, a fig tree, an olive tree, the vine. All of these are excellent choices to be king over those in the days of the judges. But instead they go and get a bramble bush, a thorn bush, and they have him to be their king. And so you say, yes, I see all the good men, the 70 sons, why, one of them could have been their king, one of his legitimate children, and now they go and get this bramble bush and make him king. And so this is why we have been praying concerning this election. We're not telling God what to do, but I think I would rather have an olive tree to reign over me or a vineyard, something beneficial, than a bramble bush, a thorn bush. And so in like manner, what people do and have been doing all along, they choose someone that is base and unworthy, and they exalt him and make him king over them. And that is a sad thing. They did it with the first king of Israel. They made Saul king of Israel when Samuel protested and God protested, but they made him king. And therefore, if Jotham had come along, he could have given a fable or an illustration like unto a parable or a proverb and told them those things as well. So think of this now, and let me give you a dark saying. I will quote it to you. First, the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 9, has healed a blind man, a man that was born blind. And when this blind man stands up and speaks out for the Savior, they excommunicate him. And the Savior, when he hears that they've cast him out, he goes and finds this man. And he speaks to him. And he says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" He said, "Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And then the Savior spoke this dark saying. He said, "For judgment am I come into the world, that they that see may become blind, and that they that are blind may see." And the ones listening to him said, "Are we blind?" And the Savior said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' your sin remaineth." And so instead of plainly telling them what they were, he couched it in those words, and they are spoken out by God as dark saying. So what the Bible gives us is the truth expressed in the greatest variety of ways, and the one who could express it best was our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, in the will of God, is what we shall consider this coming Lord's Day. But now, you've heard of proverbs, you have heard of parables, you have heard of allegories, dark sayings, riddles, you have heard of all of these things, and in the will of God, we'll see if the Lord Jesus does more than just speak a parable and a dark saying, or if he's content just to go that far. All right, let us close now. Our Father, we pray that we shall learn to read the Word of God and understand that though it is the Word of God, you have used men and things that are interesting to men and things that show superior knowledge in those men, and you've given us the truth that way. Let us appreciate it. Let us understand it. And let us, Father, attempt in our own lives to be those that speak like thy Son. We remember what you tell us in speaking the truth. You said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." And so let us not speak to men in a flat, uninteresting way, but let us speak the truth of God in a way that shall catch their attention, that shall cause them to remember the things that are said, and then let your Spirit use that truth to make them men and women of God. We thank you for your Scriptures, our Father, and so let them be things that make us worthy and noble and show us our folly, and let us be those that turn from our folly and not return to it again. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.